Hello everyone, welcome to the round 4 preview stream, talking about all the trade targets, buys, holds, sells, and all that good stuff. Thank you everyone for joining me on this Tuesday evening. Of course I'm going to be doing the obligatory audio check, Davey K, 100%. Now every time before I start speaking I quickly look at my computer and I see, is my microphone plugged in? It says I am, so obviously let me know if you can't hear me. But you know, thank you everyone for joining. Ian, Mitchell, David, Davey K, Cy, Dan, Clone Commander, as always, Moz, Jason. Yeah, not as many viewers at the moment now. I think The Whisperer was doing his stream. I was actually tuning into it just before I had to set up myself. So hopefully a few of those people will join as well after. But thanks everyone for joining at this stage. Really big week, obviously, this week. Well, Waylord says no mic muted for once. Wow. Yep, I've upped my game. I've actually been audible now when I start off instead of speaking to no one like a fool. But thank you everyone for joining. Obviously lots of stuff to get into. So I put a little poll up earlier in the chat as well, just about discussing the running order, because I know there's a few big talking points this week. So I think Nico Hines has won that poll. So we'll obviously talk about him, I think, first up, followed by Adam Dewey, and then Ruben Cotter replacements. You know, Tedesco owners, what are you looking to do with him? And then any other questions that you guys got as well. So we'll definitely at the end do a lot more kind of general Q&A for you guys, but we'll talk a bit more about those you know, trade topics, I think, to start off with. Apologies as well if my voice sounds a bit strange. It's a bit weird. I've worked from home today, so I wasn't speaking to anyone. So I think my voice is just starting to get used for today. But anyway, before we start getting into all of the hot topics, quickly just give you an update how I went in round 3. Not good, put it that way. 959, like, just a couple of poor benching decisions. You know, played near Corey over Preston, and I played Warbrick over Alamotti, and yeah, really just didn't work out well. So 959, you can see that little meme I put together. Carmpera was the one, not Will Warbrick. So sad times, but we'll look to bounce back this week. Of course, it's a long season, and so yeah, very keen to get stuck into round 4 as well. A very, very big week, I think, coming into it. And a quick shout out as well to the group. So Nick top scored with 1,246 and is now topping the total score. That actually reminds me of something. Bear with me for a second. So I've come back. Sorry, I forgot. I was supposed to do this earlier, and you can tell how prepared I am. But the kind folks at Supercoach sent me a few little goodies. So I might as well pop this on for you very quickly. So I've gotten this nice little KFC Supercoach hat. So I thought we'll do something fun this week. I've got a bunch of other stuff, so we'll try to do things a bit more randomly during the season. But whoever top scores this week, if you're not in the group, join the group. I will check though that your team was made in round 1 and is not a sniper team. But whoever wins the got the highest score for this week, I'll send you this little Supercoach NRL hat. So get in the group if you haven't already, if your team was starting round 1. And I'll admit I'm not good with posting stuff, but we'll figure it out to try to get one of these little hats to one of you guys out there. So that's a nice little thing I'll give away for this week. Got a few other things as well that we'll continually drip feed during the season as well. So yeah, definitely join the league. The code is 421648 for anyone who's watching or listening, sorry, in the audio. So so I've got a little table here just with some of the kind of lower break even players. You know, the likes of Jacob Preston, Alamotti, Sloan, Trindle, for example. A lot of these players who I think we all kind of jumped on last week. So I don't think there's probably as much of a thing this week to be jumping on some of these lower break-even players. I will just say, though, that anyone who didn't get Jacob Preston last week, I do think that he is probably the still a very good buy this week. Probably the last week, I think, to get him. Minus 62 break-even. He's punching out scores like a mid-range second or forward as well. So, yeah, I think Preston still at 300k is worth jumping for. Someone like Sloan we'll talk a bit more about later. Alamotti, I'm going to assume most of you guys already own. Reece Walsh we'll definitely talk about in a bit more detail. Tom Trbojevic as well with fullbacks. Karaz we'll talk about in a little section later. So I'm going to talk about a lot of these guys, I think, in their own section. But I wasn't really going to discuss Preston again. I just do think that he is going to be someone who is still worth getting in this week if you missed out on him last week. I think he's got enough scores, or he's punching out good scores, that are worth still buying him this week, even at 300k. with a big minus 62 break even. And on the loser side of things, not really too much change, I think, from last week. You know, Cleary is obviously probably the biggest talking point this week with 161 break even. The return of Nico Hines, obviously, whether you make that move. I don't think many people are looking at Cleary to Nico Hines. I think they're trying to do maybe a Sam Walker to Nico Hines. But yeah, Cleary's, like, I'll flat out say now, not someone I'm probably looking to sell this week. I think Penrith may score plenty of points against the Panthers. But a few other guys I'm seeing people sell, the likes of Cam Murray with 115 break even. Latrell's not really being sold, but he's got a high break even too. Teddy with 115 break even though, so definitely someone who's going to be heavily talked about this week. But I'll probably just keep it at that on the break even side of things. Obviously, refer back to this in the later if you want to watch the repeat of the stream. But yeah, I think it's still worth kind of checking in, especially in the early parts of the season, about break evens and stuff, just so that you're more aware of it with the players that you're potentially owning. But the big talking point of the week is Hines, Nico Hines. Do you jump on him for round four. So I put a poll out on Twitter, and did I say Penrith more points than the Panthers? Sorry, I meant Penrith points and Parramatta, if I said that. So excuse me, I slip of the tongue. But you know, so just back on Nico Hines. So I put a poll out on Twitter a couple of days ago, basically saying, if Hines is named, would you be buying or would you be holding? Most people in the majority were actually holding. Holding off on buying him. So about 57%, and this is about 1,060 votes. So there's a pretty decent sample size in that. So most people are going to be, I think, holding off and buying Nico Hines. Honestly, it feels like with Hines, it's a head versus heart decision. My head absolutely says don't need to get him because Dragons are pretty good against the Broncos. It's an away game, local derby, so maybe not the easiest on paper. Warriors at home. Warriors have looked much better as well, so there's no absolute guarantee that he's going to, you know, that the Sharks are going to put a lot of points on against the Warriors. Then it's the bye straight away in round six. So those already, you know, you look at that draw and it doesn't look probably as easy on paper as what we would have thought maybe at the beginning of the season. Got a high break even of 91, and he's obviously extremely expensive at 903k. Kind of the pros and cons that I've taken. I actually asked on that Twitter poll as well, what were some of your reasons for wanting to get him or for wanting to hold off on him? You know, the main cons kind of that I suggested, you know, he's coming back from a calf strain, so there's no guarantee he's going to be 100%. So you can kind of see how he goes. If he underperforms and gets about 50, 55 to 60 average, he's set to lose a lot of coin. And then obviously he's got that early buy in round six as well. So there's a few things going against him that in my head make him think, yes, I probably don't need to jump on Hines this week. The obvious pros is that you can get ahead of the curve because I think most people will want to get Nico Hines in the future. So, you know, if you can jump on him now, like, yes, Dragons were good, but at the end of the day, they still did concede 40 points. If Hines is goal kicking, then, you know, that's obviously going to be really good. That's another probably slight con. There's no guarantee on if we're going to actually see Nico Hines goal kicking. Braden Trindle has been named on the bench, but he was coming into it with his own ankle issue. I feel like the Sharks wouldn't name Nico unless they were pretty set or comfortable that he was going to play. I know Talakai took the last goal kick for the Sharks, but I didn't actually see him take it. So someone please fill me in the chat as well if that was a good goal kick attempt or a bad one. But I would assume that Hines, if he's being named and fit, he will likely goal kick. So obviously there's still that upside potential with Hines. It does feel like if you want to get Hines, you probably have to get him this week. Don't really see much point in going for him next week after 1 week because then he's going straight into a buy in round six. I think you need to try to get to him this week if you are keen on going for him. And what I've mentioned here as well, potential captaincy, to be honest, I've probably been slightly cooled off on that thought. I don't necessarily think he will be the best captain this week, potentially not even next week as well with the Warriors looking better. A Walker Hughes replacement. So obviously Sam Walker's got the bye this week. Jerome Hughes, I don't think his judiciary has been decided yet, but he is going to the judiciary tonight to challenge, I think, what was some dangerous conduct charge. So that would be 1 to 2 weeks that he could miss out on. So, you know, I would assume Sam Walker and Jerome Hughes outside of Nathan Cleary are the more owned halfbacks. So I think, you know, if you're missing one of those this week and you need someone who's a playing 17, then obviously going straight for Hines, you know, could work out for you. And it's kind of weird. It's similar to the whole Nathan Cleary thing, I think, from last year. He a lot of people didn't start with him because he was coming back from like suspension or from injury, and you think he went 50-50. A lot of people held off, and then he went like 150 twice, and he didn't end up actually losing that much money. And Hines is kind of in that category as well. So it's a tough one, right? Like 900k, you are paying up a lot. You're having to sacrifice a lot as well. If I could do it in two moves, I think I would probably do it. Like, for example, I'm short of doing Teddy to Reese Walsh and Sam Walker to Nicho Hynes. I need to boost if I want to get Hynes. The fact that I have to boost to get him makes me think, is it worth it? If you could do like those two moves straight, I kind of like it, because my heart says I think it's fine to get Nicho Hynes this week because he's such a gun. Even if he's like got a calf issue, it's just the way that he plays. Like, he just can get points from anything, right? I know Trindle on the bench could be a potential risk, and he is playing the last game of the round, so like it would be a bit annoying if, let's say, he was a late scratching, then you're kind of screwed, to be honest, because unless you've sold someone like Sam Walker, who will only lock out at the same time as the Sharks game, you know, you could be very in the mud if, you know, Hynes was a late scratching. So I think my sensible approach is to hold off on him. We can maybe look at getting him in round 7 after the bye, because then he's got Bulldogs in round 8. Even the Roosters can concede points as well. But I think if you feel like you've got nothing really else in your team that you need to fix up, you feel like you can go for some luxury moves, I don't mind going with Hynes, because yes, he can potentially go down a price, but you're only going to realize a loss on him if you sell him later in the future. So if you buy him 900k, goes down to 700, but goes back up to 850, if you never sell him, you're never going to lose the money. So so a couple of questions now on Nicho Hynes I'll probably just maybe look at. So thank you guys for filling me in on Talakai's goal attempt. Apparently it was trash. Hooked a low to the left, very poor. So hopefully Nicho Hynes is back in straight away, goal kicking. Someone was suggesting, I think, potentially selling Fifita to get to Nicho Hynes. Now, something like that where you're sacrificing a pretty big gun like Fifita. Like, Fifita for me is still fairly comfortable to hold. He only played 60 minutes on the weekend, but I think a lot of that with forwards this weekend was just due to the hot weather that was being played. And I think Fifita still scored like 50 points in that 60 minutes without any major attacking stats. Don't feel like Fifita is a massive sell candidate. I know Tedesco is being sold a lot this week, and I'm kind of for that. Like, I'm probably going to be selling Tedesco this week. Sam Walker has been okay for the first 2 weeks, but the fact that he got like mid-20s means that that's going to be in his rolling average for the longest period of time as well. So I feel like it's going to be hard to try to sell him. For him to actually go up in value. So I'm thinking, do I just do it now with the boost? Steers is saying boost for Hynes surely. Yeah, to be honest, boosting for Hynes is probably going to be okay. Bruce saying, what if Nicho gets rested? I'm kind of not too concerned about Nicho getting rested. I do think that the fact that he's been named kind of just makes me think that he's probably fine, because the last few weeks when he's been a doubt, they just haven't named him at all. So the fact that he's been named, I think, probably suggests that he will be playing, in my personal opinion. And I think also with Trindle having picked up the slight ankle knock as well. Trindle did play at times on the bench last year. That didn't affect Nicho Hynes. Trindle sometimes just came on as a utility, or could play like maybe as a middle kind of ball playing lock kind of thing. Whereas Nicho Hynes, I think, is set for 80 minutes. For me, Hynes, we'll get to my team at the more towards the end of the stream and potential combinations of moves that I might be doing. I think if I was able to do Teddy down to Reese Walsh and Sam Walker up to Hynes straight away, I probably would have done it. Now that I have to boost, I probably have to figure out as well who would be the third player I'd look to trade out, which kind of then makes me feel like, am I forcing it? Can I wait on him? And I think maybe just my last thing I'll say about this whole thing is I like thinking about these kind of things about what would you regret more, or what would you regret less? Would you regret it more if you didn't get Nicho Hynes and he scored like 100 plus for the next 2 weeks? Or do you regret it more if you got him and let's say he stunk it up and got like 50 and 50? Which one would you regret more? The not owning him and him doing well, or the owning him and he does poorly? I think that sometimes helps you make a decision. Just like, put yourself in your shoes. If you're watching him this weekend, if it rains this weekend, we all know wet hair Nicho is a different animal. We're going to have a look at the Sydney weather. Ooh, Sunday says scattered showers. Oh, mostly cloudy. Okay, so might is a chance of showers on Sunday. So Nicho Hynes could be playing in the wet. We know wet hair Nicho is a different animal. To be honest, if I had to answer that question, I would probably be more regretful if I didn't own him and he went big than if I owned him and he stunk it up. So, yeah. So James is saying if Hines has got the following week off, so it's round six that he's got off, so he will play the next 2 weeks. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of tempted to go for it this week, and I kind of feel like it's a bit of tilt because I didn't have a great round three. I'm trying not to let that get into my head, but I'm kind of thinking, can I go Hines early and can he just like tear it up? And I'm on him before a lot of other people. It's good to be ahead of the curve, but you don't want to be so far ahead of the curve that you lose out from it. So it's a tough one. I think if I had to make a gut call, I would say I would prefer to get him this week, if I'm being honest. But that is a bit more of an emotional thing. I think my sensible hat on would say you can afford to wait on him. And the thing with me as well, if you get in Hines this week as a 17, you may have to drop out someone else who's a decent play as well. So think about that too. Like if you've got a decent 17 this week and you don't need Hines and you're not going to even captain him this week, that could be maybe a deciding factor for you. Because I probably wouldn't even captain Nico Hines this week. I do think it's maybe one step too far captaining him, just coming back from his injury. So that could be something that you decide. If you're getting a 900K guy in that you're not considering captaining, then maybe it's not worth it. But if you are thinking about captaining and going like kind of balls in, then yeah, maybe it's worth. In terms of the whole Cleary to him, we'll get that onto that in the next little slide here, here on halfback. So like, I don't think Cleary is a sell for Hines. I know this is more of a question, I think, last week or before last week when he had a poor score. Now that he's had the bye, I kind of think that Panthers coming for bye, I think they do really well. And I think against Parramatta, I think there will be a lot of points in that game, is my personal feeling. I think Cleary can easily go like 80, 90 plus. Yes, the break even's higher, but as I mentioned, if you're not planning on selling him, if he goes down in price, so be it. You're only going to realize that loss if you actually sell him. And then I think the draws are starting to open up a bit for the Panthers as well. You know, Canberra away, Canberra not looking amazing. Manly at home, Manly have looked better, but Parramatta did score 30 points against them. Newcastle away, like that could be prime captaincy. Rabbitohs are not looking fantastic. They've lost a few middles. West Tigers in round 9. Like for me, I'm looking at that draw thinking there's a couple of games in there where I think I could actually captain Cleary. And I think he's a great vice captain this week too. So for me, I think Cleary is a personal hold. I wouldn't be doing Cleary to Hines. I think that does feel a bit sideways, especially this week where I do think Cleary is a prime vice captain option. But yeah, so in terms of like the argument to sell some of your guys like Sam Walker or Jerome Hughes, for Sam Walker, it feels okay because, you know, you've got a bye this week, then Parramatta, who obviously do concede points. Part of my thinking in not going with Hines, though, if you are a Sam Walker owner like me, is if you're selling Teddy this week, but you keep Sam Walker, you're kind of slightly hedging yourself against, like, let's say the Roosters do very well. You're still owning Sam Walker, who's goal-kicking. So even if Teddy's setting up the tries, hopefully Sam Walker's involved with try contributions or the goal-kicking. So that I have thought about that a little bit, that kind of hedge play. But I'm looking at it thinking, like, Parramatta, Melbourne, Sharks, they're not amazing matches on paper for Sam Walker. And I think that that lower score on his rolling average means I do think that there's a chance that he goes a bit more down in price. And Jerome Hughes now, the Melbourne draw, I mean, if he's out this week as well, that feels easy then too, because you're missing the West Tigers game, then it's Rabbitohs, Roosters, Manly, pretty kind of toughish games as well for Hughes. So I think if you're owning Sam Walker or Jerome Hughes, it feels much easier to sell for Nico. I mean, if you're somehow someone who's owned Adam Reynolds, you obviously keep him because he's been killing it and the Broncos have got a real good draw. But that's another thing as well. Like, I kind of feel like, yes, it's a very big gap from Sam Walker to Nico Hines, but oh, it's tempting. Someone made a really good point in the chat. Nico Hines just looks good next to Cleary. I 100% agree. It looks so nice between the next of them. And if you're someone who did the Teddy to Walsh trade last week and you've got that money ready to go, and you can do a straight swap of Walker to Hines, to be honest, I'd probably do it if I were you. So I think there are obviously some risks to it, but I feel like he's that kind of player who just accumulate points. He might even just come out, not do much, and still end up on like 65. Is that the worst thing in the world? It's okay. 65 is fine. Obviously, it's not value, but it's 65 points. Your replacement 17th player maybe would have scored 35. So you're still gaining 30 points on it. So, yeah. So James is making a good point. You know, Hines' price won't change for 4 weeks. Absolutely. But in those 4 weeks, you know, he's got Dragons, Warriors, a bye, and the Roosters. So he could come out and score, let's say 200 points ish. So like, yeah, there's obviously a strategy where yes, you can wait and get him at a cheaper price, but there are potentially are points in between that I think you might be able to capitalize on. Look, I probably won't spend any more time on it. I think the sensible approach is to not go with him. The emotional, my gut feeling though, is to try to grab him this week. Just another question, a few other questions on halfbacks. So Clutch Campbell saying Walker to Reynolds, or and then what will you do saying Cleary out, Reynolds in? Don't like Cleary out, Reynolds in. Like, I think Reynolds is probably on a hot streak, and I think he'll probably continue to be on a hot streak for the next few weeks because he's got a really good draw. But Cleary for me is just like another level above. Like, for me, Cleary, I'm not considering really selling at all. Sam Walker to Reynolds, if you don't have the money for Hines, or if you're not interested in going for Hines, you know, that could be an option. I'm looking at that draw thinking, yeah, Reynolds probably can outscore Sam Walker. And yeah, Reynolds can be maybe a bridge that you use for the next 4 weeks, you know, Dolphins, Tigers, Raiders, Titans. And then at round 8, Nico Hines, maybe drop down in price. He's got the Bulldogs. Then maybe you make that swap. I don't actually mind that as a strategy. So yeah, I think if you're someone selling Sam Walker, if you want to go for a bit of a pod play, yeah, probably would be maybe someone like Adam Reynolds just to capitalize on the draw. Maybe Cherry Evans, because they have got the Knights next week, which does look very, very tempting as well. And another thing to think about with someone like Hines is that if you're spending all your money to get up to Hines, you are then leaving money on the table that could be used for someone like Ruben Garrick, got round 5 Newcastle, you know, maybe someone like Harry Grant, for example, if you don't own. So you have to think about all those things as well if you are going to fork out that bulk cash for Nico. All right, I think we'll probably leave it there on the halfback chat. I think we spent quite a bit of time on that one. So I think I'm seeing a few questions about a couple of things about second rowers. I think we'll quickly just get onto the Dewey chat, because I think actually I'm seeing a few questions about Josh Schuster, so we may as well just discuss it now, I think. So Adam Dewey was second on the poll in terms of, you know, discussion points about, you know, potentially selling. So it's come out that, you know, NRL Physio basically, I listened to NRL Physio's Magic Sponge podcast on Sunday. I'm a patron of his as well. And he basically, in his head, he's like, yeah, Adam Dewey's basically got what's called turf toe, which is like kind of like a sprained ligament or some kind under your big toe. So it's apparently quite painful and can limit your performance and your ability to push off and make tackle breaks, which is kind of exactly what Adam he does, which is a bit of a shame, because I think I mentioned it on Sunday, he didn't look 100%, and it turned out that yeah, he wasn't 100%. He had this issue. In terms of what you do with him this week, for a brief moment I did consider selling, because Melbourne, whilst they're leaky, you've got Munster's back for the Storm, so I think that's a massive in for them, right? But yeah, the draw is not great. Like, Melbourne away, Broncos away, both, you know, on paper tough teams. Parramatta at home could be a good game. Then he's got the bye in round 7 before Manly and then Penrith. Like, I'm looking at that draw for Dewey. Like, I know he's a gun, but it's a bit tough, right? And he's got 101 break even, so there's a good chance that he loses cash. Now, comparing him to some of the other options like Deal Brown, like round 6 looks perfect for Deal Brown. You know, Tigers, Bulldogs, Broncos at home, but then the Knights in round 9. So, and the thing with Deal Brown is that break even of 40, it looks like he's not actually going to really go down in price. I think the hope was that he was going to go down in price and then we pick him up in round 6. It hasn't quite worked out, because I love the guy and his gun, and he's actually done well. I feel like this is one where, you know, again, sensible approach would be, I think the fact that he's named at fullback as well makes me think that he's maybe getting better, because if he's gotten a turf toe injury, playing at fullback would mean he'd have to run more, surely. So, like, I'm kind of thinking that if he's being named at fullback, I know Dane Laurie has been named on the bench as well, but that could easily be a case of, you know, maybe they hook Luke Brooks or Wakeham, Dewey moves into the halves, and Dane Laurie goes back to fullback. Like, it would be surprising for me, unless it was purely injury, that Dewey wouldn't play the 80 minutes. I feel like that maybe try to play around with Wakeham or Luke Brooks instead. So I'm not as concerned about Dane Laurie on the bench for the Tigers. For me, I think it's tough, because I can do Teddy to Reece Walsh and I can do Dewey to Deal Brown. Like, that's a nice little switch there. I know Parramatta have got Penrith, but Dill Brown, like, you can see the numbers there. Base power average of 45. Like, he's just so rock solid with his base stats. So, like, there's a good chance that he still gets you, like, 50. And, you know, maybe Dewey only gets about 55, 60. He might not do that much better. Just on Dewey playing fullback, I believe some numbers from 2020 when he played at fullback, I think he was averaging about 57, 58. This is courtesy of Supercoach Guns. And that was when he wasn't goal kicking. So if you add in another 6-ish points, you know, he's probably going low 60s. It's a weird one. I really didn't like what I saw from Dewey last week. The Tigers in general just also looked awful. I'm thinking Melbourne away with Munster back. If Hughes is also cleared to play, you know, obviously if anyone wants to, just keep an eye on that. I'll keep an eye on that as well during the stream. What the outcome is of that one. But let's say if Hughes is fit, if he's named to play, you've got Munster, Dewey back. Sorry, I'm getting my words all jumbled. You've got Munster and Jerome Hughes playing for the Storm. Like, they're going to be a much tougher opposition. So then makes you think, do you sell him this week? Again, I'm kind of thinking maybe I can wait a week on it. And then maybe next week, even if you... It does make it hard to get Dylan Brown. That's tough, right? Like, if he gets, like, 50, he's probably going to lose, like, 50, 60K cash. He's going to be, like, 550K. And then you're trying to spend up 200K to get to Dylan Brown. But I think the reason why I'm kind of okay maybe selling, holding Dewey for the next week is that you've got Schuster as the potential option. I know Schuster, I think, is very heavily traded in this week because he scored, like, 59 points. I personally don't want to buy Schuster this week because the base stats were basically non-existent. I think he got like 9 points in base. I want to see it again this week, see if he looks better. If he pulled out another 50, 55 and is set to make bulk cash, then great. If Dewey didn't look good, you kind of just have an easier way to say, okay, I'm going Dewey down to Schuster. And what you could actually do, like, this is something I've thought about as well. Murata Niokore in my team, he's been okay, but last week not great. I'm going to keep him probably this week because he's got a low break even. If he doesn't do well again, I could easily just do next week, Niokore down to Schuster. That's like 200K. And then I could do like Dewey up to Dylan Brown. And I might be able to make that money work. Even if I went for Hines this week, potentially. Maybe I'll need to boost to get someone like Dylan Brown. So I'm kind of thinking maybe... Dewey can still be a hold for me, and I still have an option to go to Dylan Brown in round 5 if I need to. Because if Dylan Brown killed it again, actually, this is the problem. Dylan Brown might kill it, and he might go up in price. So there's kind of a world where, yeah, maybe you can't do it next week just because of funds. Tough one, very tough one. And this is the thing you need to think about. I think if you are going all out to get Nico Hines, you are going to have to then think about like if there's a potential exit for Dewey. And you want to go up to Dylan Brown, you're going to have to fork up maybe 200K. And so you just have to kind of think about maybe the ways that you do that. And look, next week, I could maybe do Fifita down to Schuster. Murray could get injured. I could go Murray down to Schuster. So I kind of feel like maybe if I take it easy this week, maybe I can wait a week and then things may play out again. You know, like Cotter, for example, came out of nowhere, really. So like someone could get injured. I could even, to be honest, do someone like Reid Marnie. I know I bought Reid Marnie only last week, but if he doesn't look at it again, I could do Reid Marnie down to Sonny Luke. I feel like there's still some way that maybe I can go about kind of creating the funds. And Dewey's a gun. You know, if he was still goal kicking, which is obviously a plus. So I personally think I'm going to keep Dewey, for this week. And I will reassess next week. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Because it's not like if Dylan Brown this week had like the Tigers, like Munster does, I'd probably be like much more keen to do it. The fact that he's got Penrith... makes me think maybe I can hold off because he might not punish me this week. Munster is an interesting one. The only reason I'm not overly keen on Munster, and this could be just lunacy for me, with Munster, I feel like I'm just, when I bring him in, I'm going to have to maybe trade him out again in round 13 during the Origin period. I feel like it's going to be very difficult to hold on to a lot of our Origin guns. And we'll talk about this a bit more when we talk about the Ruben Cotter replacements because I think with all the buyers this season, I think, you know, in between the rep period plus buys, it's going to be more important, I think, to try to get those guys who will play through. And so I think I'm thinking more longer term with Munster. Maybe instead I just go with Dylan Brown. Parramatta are very good for buy coverage. Mentioned this a couple of times. So I'm kind of thinking Deal Bags is the one I'd rather go for instead of Munster, just because I know he's more of a longer term hold. And with Schuster, I think If you're going to Schuster this week purely just to make the downgrade, I can kind of get it, but I also think I would try to encourage where possible to hold off, because while he scored good, he scored 11 points in base power. I kind of just want to, wait and see. Anyway, so Matt's actually put a question kind of related to this, saying, how would you rank purchasing the following? Dylan Brown, Munster, Cleary, and Hines. I mean, if you own none of them, oh Jesus. I mean, I still view Cleary as the best one, but I understand he's got that very high break even this week. If I had to buy one in order, Hines would probably be fourth, to be honest, just because of the whole issue around his, just coming back. I'd probably have Munster third, so it's either a question of Brown or Cleary as number one and two. I'm trying not to be biased towards deal bags. I think I'd say Cleary and then Dylan Brown, then Munster, Hines. That would be my kind of list of ordering. Dan says he's got the injured Cotter and Ponga. Ouch, that hurts. Anyway, just speaking on Cotter, let's talk about front row forwards a bit. Josh says, "Aman, you're a fraud, mate. What are you talking about? I know you're getting Hines this week. I'm not sure if I'm getting Hines yet." Didn't captain Saka. Yeah, that honestly, I've blocked FPL out of my head. I'm so mad that I didn't captain Saka. Got 18 points. Anyway, back to Supercoach, not FPL. So yeah, in terms of the front row forwards, yeah, I guess long story short, if you're a Cotter owner, I think you sell. The news came out that it could be between 2 to 4 weeks, and even last season when he came back from an injury, he was kind of eased back into it. I think a lot of people were already thinking about selling him. I've listed below me a few questions, and this is before the whole Cotter news came out. It says, what do you think of Cotter to Gilbert? Payne Haas in for Cotter. So I think Cotter was already kind of on the chopping block. So for me, this makes it a very easy excuse for any Cotter owners to sell. So I guess the question then is, like, who do you actually move to at that point? So in terms of the front row forward replacements, I kind of view this trade of Cotter out. Ideally, what you would do is try to get to someone I think you're going to hold longer term. So because I think you want to try to minimize how many times you move around trades in the front row forward, just because it's generally the least upside position. So some of the more popular options, and kind of on some of the gun options as well. So you've got Payne Haas, Tohu Harris, Tom Gilbert, Joe Tarpane, and Tino Fasumula-Aui. I've got Christian Welch here, just because I know there was a few people looking at maybe selling Welch, but I'll get onto him in a little bit. But yeah, in terms of those front row forward replacements, I've tried to also put in the buys below the players as well. So you can see kind of someone like Payne Haas, he's going to miss round 13 with Origin, then he'll miss the main bye week in round 16, round 19, but then also one in the future in round 25. So I've tried to do that just to kind of map out, like, who are the guys who might be good longer term holds. I think if you're purely going for a longer term hold who might be better for buy coverage, it would probably be then Joe Tarpany and Tohu Harris, both Kiwis, both not going to be involved in State of Origin. Joe Tarpany plays the first bye week in round 13, so that could be another reason that maybe sways you to Joe Taps. His minutes have not been great at 48, but the PPM is still pretty good at 1.2, and that's a base PPM, so that's not even including like the tackle breaks and the offloads, although which, to be honest, I don't think he has a lot of. And now he's coming in cheaper than Payne Haas. Like, Payne Haas looked really good last weekend, and he is the one I think that most people are going for when selling Cotter. They're going for Payne Haas. But I'm looking at his stats, like the average minutes is pretty good at 63. Base power average of 70 is definitely being bumped up by that last week performance where he had lots of tackle breaks and lots of offloads. He is a gun, so that definitely can continue. I kind of do think maybe, do you maybe just go slightly more longer term and go with someone like Joe Tarpany with the knowledge that, Tarpany is dual as well, so that might come in handy. And could just be a nice set and forget for you. Maybe going slightly against the crowd as well, who are mainly going with Haas. I can see the reason for going for Haas because he started the season very well, but I don't think he's the outright best option that, like to make him the sole consideration. So for me, you are spending also an extra 20K. I would be personally tempted to go with Taps just because the minutes are not getting any lower and he's still averaging around, well, 61, 63 in base power. So that's obviously not looking at any errors or penalties and things like that. So as a base power, yes, it is slightly less than Haas, but I kind of think like Tarpany only has room to grow. And I kind of struggle to see if Haas can increase that. So I kind of feel like they're maybe going to regress to about the same. But then I think Taps maybe will go back to, like, this is the thing, average minutes of 48. Even if that goes up by 5 minutes, he's probably going to get another 6 points, you know. And then you're looking at someone who's going from a 61 average to like 67, 68. I think Haas is going to regress slightly. Like, he's done very well to begin with. And it's not like his break even is also super, super low. It's a 50 break even, so he will go up in price, but he's not going to really be a replacement for you to make money. So looking at the numbers and stuff, and I'm kind of thinking that Taps might be the one who I'd rather go for, because he's still averaging okay when he's really not done much. Haas has absolutely killed it, for sure. But those are last week points. It's just about trying to predict what he's going to do moving forward. So I kind of prefer Tarpany because there's no origin risk. Second would be Payne Haas for sure. I think Tohu Harris would be number three for me, just because of the nice rock solid set and forget, but lacks that upside. So that's, and then Tino. So that would be my ranking of kind of the more premium front and forward options. If you are looking to go down a little bit cheaper and go with Tom Gilbert, Gilbert's stats have been really good as well. He's playing averaging 57 minutes in the middle. His base PPM is 1.00, so he's basically just getting a point per minute in just pure base stats. The base power is 62, so he's not really kind of possessing that higher tackle breaking and offloading ability, but he's been super solid. Now, that average of 67 is obviously bumped up by a try that he scored in round two, but he's been really, really solid. I think Gilbert was probably more of a consideration for people who were selling Welch. I was seeing a few questions in the chat as well about Welch out. So, for example, Jason is saying, you're saying Walker, not Welch. Although Jason was saying Cotter to Enough to save money for Hines. I just don't love Enough this season. I think we need the depth this year with buyers. We've already lost Franklin Pele. I don't know what's happened to him. So we're already down a front row forward. If you don't own Pele, then fine. But I just don't like nothing, especially so early in the season. We want to still try to generate cash. So for me, I don't like going for enough. I would try to just go for a cheapie. Maybe like if you don't own Davey Mualli, with all the issues at the Rabbitohs with middles, you know, Mualli could have to step up and he's not too expensive. So he could even just be someone that you downgrade to. He's an extra 40K from a bottom dollar cheapie, or enough, I should say. But at least he'll be someone that at a pinch, if you had to, you can plug him in and he can score like 30 points. Luke's question here is, would you sell Welch? I own Welch. I'm personally not looking to sell this week. I'm just kind of writing off last week's performance. I think it was kind of down to the conditions and the very hot weather. That was the reason why he only played 33 minutes. I think back at Melbourne, I do think his minutes will increase a bit. Now, he's probably not going to be the cash riser I would have hoped for. But look, at his price tag, he's still not going to go down too much in price. He might hold steady, might drop down to about 440, 450K. But I do think that his minutes will improve this week. And so it's a good matchup against the Tigers. There's every chance of offloads, potential meat pie as well. And then all of a sudden, he might go back up in price again. So for me, Welch, I'm happy to hold for now. I think come his buy in around 9, or even a little bit before that, then, I might look to move at that point. But now for me, Welch, I think, is a hold for now. Matthew saying Gilbert is a great buy. I do think Gilbert is a pretty solid purchase. 538K is a good price as well. So it's coming in quite a bit cheaper than some of these other gun front row forwards. I just probably think he lacks the upside of like a Haas or a Tarpany. So I kind of think that that's who I'd rather lean towards. But still will be a good option. If you are looking at, you know, your team's looking pretty solid and you are looking at a Welch upgrade, then yes, Gilbert's probably who I'd go to. But as I mentioned, I think I'd be still holding Welch this week. I'm seeing a lot of love for Kalomatungi in the chat from Brew and from Drew Carla. If you guys didn't watch the Sunday stream, I mentioned it. I'm not really a betting man, but one of my friends who I went to the Roosters Rabbitohs game is, he said, mate, $10, I'll put it on a first-time try scorer that you choose. If it loses, no stress. If it wins, I'll give you half the winnings. I thought, great, no downside for me. I picked Kalomatungi first-time try scorer. So on Friday, I was loving Kalomatungi as well because he made me a Motza. he is a gun. Definitely fixture proof if you are looking at your second row forward. So Stuart saying, Aman, you love dual bags. Noted. And I'm thinking of going Dewey to him. Yeah, so I spoke about Dewey in the last section, Stuart. So if you can try to scroll back, that might help you out. My general feeling was still happy to reassess with Dewey for a week because he's named a fullback, which is a position that runs. So I kind of think that the injury might not be as bad as we think. Hopefully, fingers crossed. And dual bags has got Penrith, so it is a tough game. So I'm kind of hoping maybe one more week of information. I think we've got options to downgrade to next week as well, like Schuster, maybe Sonny Luke, for example, in your hook spot. There's a couple of options that we might be able to downgrade to make funds to still get to some like deal bags next week. So I don't mind the move though, to be honest, Dewey to Dylan Brown this week, because I do think that Dill Brown will be the one who I will eventually want to get from round six when his draw really does open up, and he should be a nice long-term hold. Josh is saying, how much do I reckon Dewey's going to drop? Really comes down to his break-even's 101. If he scores like 50-60, he's probably going to lose about... If he scored 60, he'll probably lose about maybe 50-ish K. Quick math in my head. So he might lose about 50 K. So you're not losing small money. It is a decent amount of money. And Stuart, you're concerned about Laurie. My thing with Laurie on the bench, though, was that I thought it would be more likely that Luke Brooks or Wakeham get subbed off for Laurie and then Dewey moves into the halves again instead of Dewey out. I kind of see the reason for your concern. I think Tigers play, on the Friday 6 o'clock game? So fingers crossed, if he's a late at scratching and then you're forced to play Katoa, it probably makes it easier then to say just sell Dewey this week if he was a late scratching. So I'm not as concerned about Laurie on the bench there, but yeah, obviously if we see that happen, it would probably make Dewey an immediate sell next week if that was to happen, because he's probably going to score lower in that case as well. Bruce saying Noodle Arm will get hooked. Oh, mate, you're doubting the great man, Adam Dewey. Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm hoping that we don't have the similar thing with Teddy this week where it's something I'm thinking about doing next week and I have to do it anyway and I end up losing the money on it. But yeah, to wrap up, I guess, the Cotter discussion, for me, I'd probably slightly edge Tarpany, then Haas, then Tohu Harris, then Tino. But if you're not interested in going those and you want to go a bit down more in price, then probably Gilbert is the one I'd probably look to. Incentia saying, Cotter to Tarpany and price yourself out of Hines next week, or Cotter to Stefano and Hines next week. Just on the Hines next week, I do think that if you are looking for Hines, it's probably this week that I'd try to do it. Because I think next week, yes, he might come out looking good, but then you've got one game and then the bye straight away. I feel like if you're thinking about getting him, it's probably a better move to get him this week, get the two games and then the bye. So if, for example, in your situation, Cotter to Stefano lets you get to Hines this week, I'd probably just say rather do that. So I think I wouldn't maybe let Hines next week sway your decision too much about your front row forward. I do think Stefano has been pretty solid. I think he's still got a negative 15 break even, so he will set to make a bit more money, but he's been pretty reasonably solid as well, just as a third front row forward. It's going around the 50 average. Okay, so I think I'll quickly get onto the whole fullback discussion. I think there was a question right at the beginning of the stream, which I wasn't able to get to. I think it was something about, I think there were Tedesco and Latrell owner and they didn't own Trbojevic, and I think they were saying, do I get Trbojevic or Reece Walsh? So this is from Riley way early in the stream. Teddy to Turbo, a good move. If you don't own Turbo, I would 100% be buying Turbo this week. Negative 25 break even, he's not even looking 100%, and he's like casually averaging like 100. The draw's not fantastic, but they do have Newcastle round 5. Like, Turbo could be mass captained at that point. So yes, for me, that would be an easy move, Teddy to Turbo. If you already own Turbo, like myself, and you own Tedesco, there's definitely an argument to hold Teddy, because Parramatta in round 5, they do concede a lot of points to fullbacks. But I do personally think that I'm going to sell Tedesco. I think I'm going to jump on Reece Walsh. He's got the negative 32 break even. I probably view Reece Walsh as like a 4-week hold for the Dolphins, Tigers, Raiders, and Titans. When it starts to get a bit tougher in round 8, I'm probably going to want to move on to someone like Latrell, I think. Maybe even earlier than that. Maybe even round 6. You know, maybe give Reece Walsh the next 2 weeks. And let's say, for example, he goes 25-25. There's a potential that happens. And then all of a sudden, he's got a sky-high break-even. Then I'd probably say, well, maybe the bridge to Latrell is closer, because Latrell's got a pretty high break-even himself. So I'm happy enough going down to Reece Walsh. If I need to buy back Teddy, I can do that. That's fine. Or switch to Latrell. That's also an option. So for me, Teddy out for Walsh feels pretty comfortable. So that's probably a move that I will be doing this week. I know a lot of people did it last week. If you don't own Turbo, I'd be buying Turbo before buying Reece Walsh. And to be honest, I don't think I need to say much more on the fullbacks. I think if you're holding Teddy, that's fine. He's a proven gun. We know that. I just do like the avenue of creating funds from going down to Walsh. Yes, it may feel sideways going Teddy to Walsh, potentially back to Teddy, but you might pocket like 200K out of it as well. So Detrix is saying, thoughts on going from Teddy and Corey Allen to Turbo and Walsh? Yes, 100%. 100%. Do those moves. Corey Allen is not really getting game time for the Roosters. Has he been named this week because of Joey Manu being out? No, obviously not. The Roosters had the bye this week, so Corey Allen hasn't been named. So yes, 100%. Teddy and Corey Allen to Turbo and Walsh. Easy moves. Sebastian was asking, is Reynolds for Sam Walker a good trade? Yeah, so I discussed this more in the halfback section. Long story short, though, if you're not willing to fork out the money for Hines or you're not interested in going for him, I don't mind going Walker to Reynolds. Maybe ride the hot streak for 4 weeks and then maybe look to make a switch to Hines after he's got his bye, maybe back to Sam Walker or maybe to another halfback option. I don't mind it, to be honest. He's goal kicking as well with his good draw. So yeah, I think if you're going for a little pod play at halfback, Reynolds would be the one I'd be looking to. Teddy and Warbrick to Turbo and Walsh. Now, I'm not a massive fan of selling Warbrick because he's got the good matchup this week. No way am I playing him in my 17, but there is a chance that he just scores 2 or 3 tries and the cash will start to rise. But I would probably do that. I would probably do Teddy to Turbo for sure. And then Warbrick to Walsh. Yeah, probably would do it as well. Ian saying, Latrell is scoring 2 tries this week, so he's going 120 plus without losing money. We'll see. Yes, there's a good chance that happens, but fingers crossed he doesn't. Now, this is an interesting question from Mitchell, actually. Latrell out to Walsh, then buyback later after the cash is made. See, I'm kind of looking at Latrell thinking, I think I'm going to want to get him rather than Tedesco. So I actually am not really a fan of going Latrell down to Reece Walsh. Teddy out feels okay because he's got the bye this week. I'm just looking at Latrell. He's averaging like, what, mid-60s and seemingly not doing a lot. Like, he's doing stuff, like in terms of a couple of try assists, but he's just not looking like the Latrell that was at the back end of last season, and he's still averaging pretty well. So for me, like Latrell, if I owned like the Latrell Turbo combo, I actually wouldn't be selling, in my opinion, because there is that potential that Reece Walsh does get those 20 point scores. So like, I don't mind it for a cash gen point of view, but there is a world where I think Latrell can do very well over the next few weeks. I know, like, their home games, Manly and Melbourne. Then it's the Bulldogs, Dolphins. There are some couple of decent games coming up soon as well. So, yeah, for me, I'm probably advising to hold the trail, but I feel like Teddy is going to be the one who I'll be happy to sell. Bruce saying, you started with Teddy for a reason, hold him. That's perfectly reasonable. Like, I think holding Teddy is fine. I mean, the reason I started with Teddy mainly was because Dolphins and Warriors for the first 2 weeks, I thought they were going to be prime matchups. Turns out the Dolphins were just crazily up for that game, and the Warriors have come out starting the season very well. So we just didn't quite get the points that we wanted, I think, out of Tedesco, and we're seeing the Broncos emerge. Like, we've gotten a lot of new information. So while I agree with you, Brew, I think, you know, starting with Tedesco, what's panned out has been very different, I think, to what we expected. So I think I'm fine to take the new information. Reece Walsh does look good. The Broncos look good. Happy to just play the break evens for now as well, make some cash. And then we can always move back to Teddy in the future as well. Jesse saying, what are your thoughts on Cotter and Walker to Gilbert and Hines? I like it. Very, very much like it. Bruce saying, you're forgetting the points Walsh was on at 60 minutes. True. So I didn't watch this game live. I know he was on 0 at halftime and was on about 20 with 10 minutes to go, and then he just exploded. So yeah, I think there's obviously that risk there, but look, even if he goes 20 and 20, he'll still make money over that period of time as well. And then you can always reassess at that point, you know, round 6, Latrell's got the Bulldogs, Teddy's going to be back. Maybe there's some other option that comes out that we're not talking about right now, maybe AJ Brimson. And then you can maybe make that move for Reece Walsh out of that point. So, like, I'm definitely not viewing Reece Walsh as, like, a keeper. He could turn out to be that, but I'm more looking at him as a... There's 4 good games that I like coming up. If he can do well in those, make money, cool. And I'll take the points that come with it. And then we'll reassess at that point. Okay, I think that's what we all need to say on the fullbacks. I saw a few questions about centers, so Holmes or Garrick. So we'll get to the center section. So this is from Clutch Camel saying Holmes to Garrick. I'm personally not too keen on selling Val at this point. I still think, like, I really like the Cowboys draw still. I know they haven't started the best, but he's been averaging 59 without really any major attacking stats. So I'm kind of thinking I'll stick with Holmes for now. Garrick does look very appealing, but this week isn't the easiest matchup on paper. I think he's got a 33 break even, so he may go up in price next week. Oh, yeah, well, he probably definitely will get over 33. But again, it's kind of one that I'm thinking, like, Titans at home for the Cowboys. Like, we saw the Titans so far, the points that they've conceded so far this year. Like, even in goal kicks alone, Holmes could get, like, to 75, 80, and he may not lose that much in price. And then Garrick's got a slightly tougher matchup this week. It's another one where I'm thinking maybe it's next week that you could maybe do that move, because then you've got Garrick versus Newcastle and you're thinking, geez, I need to get him in. You can boost, you can do that kind of thing as well. Or David, for example, is saying, if I go Garrick, it will be from Karaz to Garrick when Manly have an easier draw. That's another thing as well. Like, Karaz has got the Warriors, which is potentially an easy matchup, but could be difficult. The game's coming up after that are a bit tougher. So let's say Karaz cooled off a little bit. He should hopefully make the money to get up to someone like Garrick as well. So yeah, maybe Karaz to Garrick is an option. The Holmes to Garrick move I don't love, because I think Garrick isn't screaming must trade in for me at this point. And Holmes isn't screaming must sell, if that makes sense. And I know it doesn't have to always be a case of someone's a must buy or a must sell to sell them. But yeah, personally, I'm just not feeling it at this stage. Also, a quick shout out as well to Metalhead Smurf. Thank you so much for becoming a member. Really, really appreciate that. Campbell Graham. So he's someone I haven't actually put in this table, but I probably should have. But like, Campbell Graham's stats have been like ridiculous to start the season. So I'm looking at some of his numbers here. So Campbell Graham's base power average so far is 46, which is like pretty ridiculous. It's only that Karaz has gone absolutely nuts with 67 base power average to begin the season. Otherwise, I think a lot more people would be talking about Campbell Graham. He's going to be rock solid, you know, 110, 34, 91 in those games. Bases of 42, 32, 41. So he looks like he's going to be a good option as well. I think someone was saying they were going to sell Joseph Suoli'i to Campbell Graham. Now, personally, now I know the money is a bit different because Campbell Graham's a lot cheaper. He's about, well, actually, I think he's about 690K. To be honest, I think if you're going for Graham, I would just try to find that extra 50K and I would just try to go straight for Garrick, in my opinion, because I think Garrick has, like, you know, what did I say? Campbell Graham's base power is 46. Like, Ruben Garrick's base is, what's his average base power? 37. But then if you add in the goal kicks, so let's say you add in two goal kicks a game, that's 8 points, you're all of a sudden looking at the same floor of about 46, 47. But I think Garrick's just got that much bigger ceiling. So I'm kind of thinking that I would rather actually go Garrick instead of Campbell Graham if you were looking at someone like Campbell Graham. Campbell Graham would be a nice pod, but I do think Garrick would be the one who I'd prefer, just because we know that he can go like 100 plus consistently. We've seen that before. Campbell Graham can be that guy who get you 40, 45, but you know, if he doesn't get those tries, that's about it. At least Garrick, even in a game where he doesn't score a try, he will probably still get about 50, 55, just pulling the goal kicks. So you're kind of always hedging yourself with if Manly are doing well. And I just think with Turbo, if he's just going to get better and better, that's only going to be better things for Garrick as well, in my opinion. So Sebastian, I don't think it's a silly buy over Garrick. And I know in your situation, you're saying to save some money to buy Munster. To be honest, if you go back to that 5-8 section that I spoke about, I think that gap of Munster to Dylan Brown, like if we're talking combinations here, Campbell Graham and Munster or Dylan Brown and Garrick, I'd actually much prefer Dylan Brown and Garrick, in my opinion. So yeah, that's the answer to your question, Sebastian, on the centers. Thank you, Flash Green, for becoming a member. Really appreciate that. I may as well use this chance for anyone, because there's a lot more people watching the stream now. Supercoach were kind enough to send me a few little goodies. So I've got this KFC Supercoach NRL cap. So whoever gets the highest score in the league this week, I'll be looking to send you this little cap just as a kind of a weekly prize for this week. I will only be counting for teams though that started in round one, so no sniper teams will be eligible. So if you joined this week, that's still fine, but it's just going to be depending on who is the highest scoring player this week in the group code. So the group code is 421648. So yeah, do join that as well if you haven't already. And hopefully you like the hat, whoever wins it. Seeing a few questions about Lemuelu. So what's he actually positioned at in Supercoach? I'm not too sure because is he a center or is he a second or a forward? Because yeah, with Kafusi now out for 4 weeks, that's been confirmed. He lost at the judiciary. I'll be honest, guys, I haven't even watched that tackle yet on Hastings. It's something I wanted to do on my to-do list, was just to go back and watch that tackle. All I've heard is outrage that it shouldn't have been a sin bin, so I'll be quite keen to see it. 4 games does sound very, very tough, though. How do you pronounce it? Lemuelu. Okay, it's a centre only. 355k, scored, what did he score last week? 64 points. Just going to have a quick look at trusty NRL Supercoach stats. 40 in base, played 72 minutes. If you guys can confirm what position he played last week, that would be great. Because yeah, if you're playing 350k starting second or forward for the next 4 weeks, and you can plug him in your centers, it's not a bad little downgrade. Yeah, might be someone better than Terrell Sloan, who I haven't spoken about yet. I don't love Terrell Sloan. Maybe if you're going for a pure downgrade, yeah, he could be an option, but I'm always concerned with his base stats. He really needs the attacking stats, and I'm looking at the draw. It's okay. Dolphins and Titans and Raiders. Actually, it's not bad for the Dragons, to be honest, but I just don't personally love Sloan just because of the base stats. Oh, and David, thank you so much for becoming a member as well. Oh, guys, really, really appreciate it. You all being very generous today. I love it. And Stuart saying, give me that cap, baby. Whoever's the highest scoring for the week will get the cap. They'll get the cap. I do have a few other stuff, a few other goodies that I have that I will be dropping randomly throughout the season. So there will still be some motivation. So there's still a few other things I'll be looking to give away as well. But yeah, again, obviously thank you to Supercoach because they sent me a few things, which I was very appreciative of. He's second row. Okay. Oh, is he dual position? Okay. Oh no, sorry. I'm looking at his profile on the actual website. So I think he's a center wing only. But if he's playing back row, probably a good chance in round 6 he actually gets the dual status. So he might be someone who I might have a look at this week. Break even with 35, so he's not going to go up massively in price. So I think he might be someone you can just afford to wait on this week. Alex is saying, how do you become a member? I think there's an option. I don't even know, to be honest, because I've never had to try to become a member for myself. I think if you go to... You can either go to somewhere in the stream or you can go somewhere on my YouTube page, which says, I think you can become a member. I'll try to help you out, Alex, after the stream. But yeah, unfortunately, I can't remember top of my head. Otherwise, maybe ask David. And maybe, David, you can let Alex know because you just did. right. So I think apart from that, that probably covers all the main talking points I wanted to discuss this week. So I'll quickly talk about captaincy. In terms of the trade-ins, trade-outs, I won't go through that because I kind of went through a lot of these players already in detail. So I think we'll kind of skip over the top trade-ins and outs. Looking at captaincy, for me, it actually feels quite straightforward. Probably going to be doing VC Cleary and Captain Grant. I think that's the way I'm looking at this point. I just think Cleary, coming off a bye with Parramatta conceding points, I do think that will be a good game for him. I know Madison is back as well for the Eels, but I do think that Panthers coming off a bye will be very good. And then I'm just looking at that Tigers matchup for Grant. I looked at the stats last season. The West Tigers conceded the most points to dummy halves. Grant started the season very well. Munster's back. If Jerome Hughes is playing as well, I think the Storm will... I mean, I said it last week that they would bounce back, but there's maybe an even better chance that they bounce back this week. So, yeah, for me, I think Captain Grant, he feels safe as well. Like, he's safe for like 60, 70. But yeah, we'll see how we go with that one. But other potential options, obviously no Roosters players to consider. Maybe Reece Walsh, but I think I'm kind of turned off Reece Walsh in the sense that Dolphins are looking okay, and anyone who's watching that game saw his score after 70 minutes. So I think you'd be a bit concerned captaining him. Holmes is a sneaky pod option because of all the points that the Titans concede. But again, the Cowboys also themselves aren't looking the best. So I'm kind of not super keen on Val Holmes. Hines maybe is an absolute pod at the end of the week, but I think there is still risk with that too. So I'm not loving that one. Maybe Trbojevic or Luttrell as your safer options. But for me, it's going to be VC Cleary. I think Captain Grant. Whoa, what is going on in the chat? Oh my goodness. Will, thank you so much for becoming a member. And David, what have you done? You've gifted 10 of my memberships. That is amazing. Mate, David, I really appreciate your generosity. Give David some love in the chat, guys. He's done an absolutely amazing thing there for you guys. Really appreciate it. So I guess really with the members, I may as well give a quick overview of any benefits of being a member. I always try to keep the content free so that it's accessible to everyone. Memberships is more just a way to show a bit of additional support. Like, it's like $1 a month, purely as a donation for the time that we put into the channel here. There's a few custom emojis that you can use in the chat. You can see Inksentia using it here. What a man, what a man, what a man. Still obviously keen to always chuck in new emojis during the season. The only other thing is that my buy planning spreadsheet, you do get free access to that as a member. That's the only real benefit. But apart from that, nothing else. But David, you've done a really, really lovely thing there for everyone in the chat. So very much appreciate that. So yeah, definitely give David some love, guys, in the chat. He's got me thrown off completely, of course. But basically, I think I'm VC Cleary, Captain Grant. That's how I'm going to be looking this week. All right, we're already at an hour. Wow, time has flown. Time has absolutely flown. So, this wasn't intended, but here's my buy planning spreadsheet. The only thing that I haven't been able to do yet is update player prices. Obviously now player prices have started to update. Although I do think that the NRL Supercoach Stats website has started updating prices. Have they started? Yes, they have. So the NRL Supercoach Stats website, when it updates every week, it looks like it's updated player prices and also has the dual positions. That might make it much easier for me, where all I need to do is copy paste those player prices into the spreadsheet and then it should update directly. But even without player prices changing, you're still going to be able to see the full draw for the rest of the season. That's not changing. You'll still be able to see when the buys are occurring. And even if you're looking at your own team picker, for example, now that we have kind of changes in prices, the whole kind of salary cap part won't be as useful at this point. That was more of a round one thing. But, looking at the buys still might be useful. So, for example, you can skip ahead to round five and you can see the various games that each of the players will have. So, for example, Fifita's got the buy. If you go to round six, you can see who's got the buy in round six, the Sharks. So I don't have any Sharks players in here, but you get the story. So that's the only benefit, I guess, of being a member, plus being able to show me some support, of course. All right, we'll quickly get onto my team, what I'm thinking of doing this week. So I think I will be doing Teddy to Walsh. I think for me that is pretty much going to happen. And so that leaves me quite a bit of money in the bank. Teddy to Reece Walsh. So I've got 218k. Now, to be honest, I don't have to do anything else trades wise because once I bring in Walsh, I'll reserve him. And then my four reserves are going to be Reece Walsh, Preston, Niokore, and Reed Marnie. And I'm kind of okay with that. I could use that money to upgrade Welch to maybe Tarpany, but I am okay with Welch this week. And I'm looking at the rest of my team. The only other thing I might potentially do is maybe Dewey to Dylan Brown if I wanted to do that this week. As Ian's saying, get dealbacks for 80, thank you later. I'm always, you guys know my love for Dylan Brown, right? So I mean, that's an option as well. Kind of get ahead of the curve. Next week, I've got 58k. What I'd probably do in that case next week is Niokore out for probably Schuster. That gives me another 200k. And then maybe at that point I can do, if I wanted to get Reed Marnie out for Sonny Luke, I could do that too. And that gives me a war chest then to upgrade someone like Katoa, maybe to upgrade Sam Walker to Hines in the future. Bruce saying, get Kalomatungi. A lot of Kalomatungi love in the chat. But I'm kind of okay with my second row forward. Dewey actually is someone who is going to be an issue. He's named on the bench. At the moment, he's got a break even of -9. So he will make money this week. But I do think that his cash rises are going to stop fairly soon. So I do think that if he keeps coming off the bench, he's going to be a bit of an AE nightmare. So Dewey is also someone who I think I will probably look to get rid of soon. So I can kind of see myself in the future, I think, getting rid of Niokoro, Dewey, Sam Walker to get Nico Hines probably eventually. Maybe Dylan Brown. So I'm kind of thinking, is there something that I could do this week to kind of get ahead of that? So in case there's anything else new that pops up this week. So Drew's saying Niokoro to Wilton. Wilton, I think, scored very well last week, base stats-wise. I think, and with Nico Hines coming back, that probably will be good for Wilton. So he scored 66 in base last week. So he scored 68 points, all in base stats. So yes, for 525K is a decent price as well for him. I still kind of prefer Katoa. His buy is in round 9. He's still cheaper at 485K. His base stats are about 54. I just feel like he's got more upside, and I think Munster being back will help, and he's got Tigers this week. So I think if you are looking to go for another mid-ranger, second row forward, I would probably prefer Eli Katoa, if I'm being honest. Mr. Carlo is saying Schuster or Preston. I would be going Preston for sure. I think Preston, even at 300K, is still offering really good value. -62 break even. He's definitely a play in 17s as well, with about a minus. He bangs out about 55 in base each week. So even at 300K, that's a good price with a -62 break even. Schuster, I want to wait and see still if he'll do well, given that his base stats are pretty poor last week. Someone, Harry, is saying could bring in Cardi. I did think about briefly bringing in Cardi. I'm kind of annoyed now I didn't start with Cartwright, but you know, that's all hindsight as well. But the thing with Cartwright is I do think Sean Lane is going to be back fairly soon. And I do think it's going to be a very quick trade in, trade out. I kind of don't think I've got the trades to justify doing that. Jackson Ford is someone who I could also look to move to. Pablo saying, thoughts on Cam Murray to Jackson Ford, Walker to Hines, Remus Smith to Reece Walsh. Now, don't love selling Murray, because I think that can backfire, but he has got a very high break even of 115. And if you're set and going for Hines, yeah, I don't love Remus Smith. Even with the fact that he's got the Tigers, I just don't love Remus Smith. I do like getting on Reece Walsh this week. I don't mind that for a boost. You just have to be very confident, because obviously Murray can, you know, burn you if you sell. Isaac says, would you go Walsh or Karaz? Going Karaz means you can play Taruva as your backup fullback. Walsh or Karaz? I think Karaz is much more likely to be the season keeper. The base stats are unbelievable. And if he continues that, we're looking at like Brian Toe of 2021 when he was insane base stats wise. So I think it kind of depends. If you're the person you're looking to bring in is eventually going to be a trade out, maybe go Reece Walsh. He's got better potential for cash rises at this point. Got a lower break even. But if you're looking for more of a set and forget kind of keeper, then I'd probably go Karaz instead. I'll quickly wrap up my team chat and then we'll go into a few minutes of questions. We'll get to some of your questions as well soon. But yeah, to be honest, like, this is the thing. I can't go Sam Walker to Hines straight away, which is sad. If I wanted to get Hines, I needed to free up a bit more extra. Where is he? Here we go. I'm about 69K short. So the way I'd probably do it would be, if I had to free up 69K, I'd have to boost, and I'd probably be doing Niokoro out for like a Schuster or for a Jackson Ford. So I think I just need to think about if that's worth it or not. So I think at the moment the only locked in trade is Teddy to Walsh, and I'll think about the other moves moving forward. Because as I mentioned, I don't have to necessarily bring in anyone else. I'm happy enough with the 17. If I play Reed Marnie, Niokoro, Preston, and Reece Walsh, I think that'll be fine as a 17 for me. All right, I think we'll do about 5 minutes of questions, Max. The stream has been going on for a while. I do actually have to go back to work as well for a bit. So we'll get on to your question, then we'll wrap it up there. Jesse saying, play 2, bench 2. Chance, Alamotti, Camperera, and Thompson. I would be playing out of those. I'd probably be playing Chance, and I would be playing Alamotti. Campero has got Cowboys, and its base stats are just non-existent. Thompson has Manly. Alamotti, I think that game could have some points in it. Warriors versus Bulldogs. So I'd probably play those two. Ian saying Sean Lane was training today via running with the trainer. You went past today and seen them. Should be back next week. Okay, a bit of maybe an inside scoop there. If Lane is a chance of being back next week, then yeah, that probably does mean I wouldn't go to Cartwright. Schuster or Preston? Mr. Callow, I think I answered that before. I would definitely be going Preston. And guys, if you have enjoyed the stream to this point, do please give it a like. It really does help me out. Clutch Camel says, "Hey, I'm back. Who gifted me a membership to your channel? You're gonna have to thank Mr. David Schuster. If you scroll up, he was very, very generous and gifted 10 memberships to people in the chat. So, lovely gesture from him. Hey, Ma, would you play Warbrick against the West Tigers or Alamotti or Fadeau or Tuiruva? Can only play two. I would be playing Tuiruva. I feel like he's quite safe, good base stats. And the other one I would be playing would be." Well, at the moment, I've got Taboafido in my current setup, so I'd probably be playing him. I think, yes, Broncos have been good, but there's still a chance that the Dolphins can score some points. I just don't think I can trust Warbrick, to be honest. Is Gamble a trade-in option? Definitely not for me. Not in my eyes. Newcastle have got lots of injuries. He had a good game last week, but he's not really a Supercoach option. I wouldn't be going Gamble, in my opinion. Murray to Cleary or Dewey to Preston this week? Ooh. So it's basically points versus cash, Isaac. Do you get the cash or do you take the points of Cleary? To be honest, I think I would actually do Dewey to Preston. I do think Preston is one of the best cash cows we've got this season. So I feel like you want to try to jump on him, possibly. Am I holding Sam Walker with a tough run? This is the thing. I don't love holding Sam Walker at this point. Which is why I'm more compelled to try to get to Hines this week. So there's a very good chance, like if I did boost, let's say I boosted. If I had to boost, I would probably do Nia Corey. I need someone who's 373k. So I would do either one of Jackson Ford, or I would probably go, maybe I'd maybe go a week early on Schuster. That's probably the only way I could do it. So yeah, that is an option. It's an option. Or maybe I'll go for Ford. Ford has been named in the starting lineup. Okay. Yeah, so I don't love holding Sam Walker, put it that way, but he's not a bad option, I guess. It's still the Roosters. Out of Carrigan, Murray, and Fifita, who would you sell to fund Hines? Oof. What did Carrigan score last week? 65, I think he scored. Carrigan's been rock solid. 74, 63, 65. That is a really tough one. Probably Murray with the high break even, but I don't like it. Is Wade Egan a hold? Yeah, I think, yeah, so sorry, I didn't speak about Wade Egan. So he obviously hasn't been named this week, out with the HIA. But I think he is a hold because I think he still has a negative break even. I would expect that he's back next week. Scored another try. Yeah, he's got an 18 break even according to NRL Supercoach stats. So he's still set to make a little bit more money. And he could turn out to be like a good hooker option. I think, and it depends. If your backup hooker is like Tanner Boyd, I think it's fine to plug in play in for this week. Titans should still score some points. Titans can very, very much do well against the Cowboys as well. So yeah, Wade Egan, I think, will feel like a hold. Go for Wilson, 65 in base. He's a beast. He is a beast. I prefer Katoa though. I don't know. It's more of a gut thing. I think I prefer Katoa. I feel like he's just got more upside, but maybe I could be silly on that one. Break-even of 20, Ian says, for Wade Egan. Walker and Cotter to Reynolds and Gilbert. Not enough for Taps and Haas. Yeah, so Jason spoke about front row forwards. I think if you couldn't afford those top front row forwards, I think Gilbert has been looking good and his stats are pretty good as well. I think he looks like he's going to be one of those guys who's good for kind of a low 60 score. Welch over or under 55? I'm going to say over. But that's because I'm being bullish. Is it worth going Pele to Kepi? Probably not. Like, Kepi's been doing okay, but he's not been like an absolute world beater. And, you know, if you're not having to play them as well, it just feels like a trade that, you know, it's not going to get you a lot in terms of points. Like, Kepi's gone 40 and 36, and his break even is 6. So, yes, he'll go up a little bit in price, but just doesn't feel like a high impact trade, if that kind of makes sense. All right, we'll do one more question before I wrap up here. I have to pick between Sam Walker to Cleary or Hines. Who do you go with? Oh, Cleary. I think go Cleary. Because there is still doubts with Nico Hines, whereas Cleary's coming off a bye. Looks like he... I think he should be doing good. I think he should do good. Tommy says, Schuster in a week early for you. Yeah, like that could be an option. I'll have to speak to David on this one. I think he's got... David, if you can tell Josh to take a few more runs this week, and that would be really appreciated. If you can get his base, that's up to 20. A few more flick passes for try assist, yeah, that would be appreciated for sure. Chez doesn't use him enough. Yeah, fair enough. That was for Homolia Oluquatu. Got it. Anyway, I think we'll wrap up the stream there, guys. Appreciate it. I couldn't get to everyone's questions, unfortunately. But thank you all for joining in. It was a bit of a longer stream. Lots of stuff to get into. I'll say it again for the last time. Join the league if you haven't already. Whoever gets the highest score this week, I'll be sending this little NRL Supercoach hat to you. So, little prize for this week, because it does feel like a really big week and I haven't given any prizes out yet. So I thought we'd do something. Anyway, we'll wrap up the stream there. Thank everyone for joining in. Catch you in the next one.